Support comes from Clipper Vacations, offering getaways on the Clipper Fast Ferry to Victoria, B.C. Clipper Ferry and hotel packages from $250 per person. Enjoy historic charm, afternoon tea, and more. Terms and conditions apply. Details and booking at clippervacations.com.
Good evening and TGIF. From the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Paige Browning. Coming up, we'll tag along with a Republican who attended the state convention as she decided who to endorse. That's in a few minutes. But first, here are today's top stories. It's Friday, April 26th. Alerts are out in Western Washington today for a man who escaped a minimum security prison in Monroe, about an hour's drive from Seattle. The Department of Corrections says 59-year-old Patrick Lester Clay escaped the Monroe Correctional Complex by breaking into a staff office and stealing car keys. He was last seen driving a white four-door GMC Sierra truck. Clay is serving a sentence for burglary, harassment, and theft charges in King County. Officials are asking the public to call 911 or the Monroe Correctional Complex if they spot him. Moving on to city politics, politicians are getting involved again in how much gig workers earn. A Seattle City Council committee is moving to roll back the recent pay hike for gig work drivers, but those drivers are pushing back. Ruby DeLuna has more.
Uber Eats driver Kyle Graham reminded the council that a decade ago, Seattle was the first city to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
The council seems to want to make history again by being the first major city to remove a minimum wage from tens of thousands of workers.
The gig worker minimum wage law, which only went into effect in January, prompted app companies like DoorDash to impose new fees. Now the council is considering changes like lowering the minimum wage from the current 44 cents per minute to just under $20 an hour. Gas mileage reimbursement would be lowered from 75 to 35 cents per mile. The current proposal would strike certain enforcement rules, including requiring companies to share data with the city's labor agency and giving worker protections to sue. Ruby DeLuna, KUOW News.
Some happy animal news on a Friday. The orca calf that was stuck in a British Columbia lagoon is swimming free today once again. CTV News out of Vancouver reports that the whale swam out on her own this morning during high tide. The whale, nicknamed Brave Little Hunter, had been stranded since March when her mother died after getting stuck on a sandbar. Canadian fisheries officials and tribal leaders had made a few failed attempts to rescue the young Biggs killer whale, and are celebrating today. Four women just sued the Seattle Police Department. Four women who work for SPD and are claiming sexual discrimination and harassment. Isolde Raftery has the details today.
The four officers say they've received unwanted sexual attention from supervisors and were denied promotions because they're women. The claim singles out Chief Adrian Diaz as engaging in, quote, predatory and discriminatory behavior. One of the women, Officer Valerie Carson, claims Diaz was grooming her for a romantic relationship. The tort claim says the chief would ask her to go on drives alone with him and that he offered to work on her house. The Police Department Public Affairs Unit has dismissed these allegations, calling them, quote, individual perceptions of victimhood. Isolde Raftery, KUOW News.
A new fentanyl tragedy is coming out of Everett. The Everett Fire Department says they've responded to three suspected fentanyl overdoses in very young children this week. Firefighters were able to revive two infants with the overdose reversal medication Narcan, but a third child died. The Snohomish County Medical Examiner has not yet provided the official cause and manner of death in that case. Dr. James Lewis is the health officer for Snohomish County. He says overdose deaths among children younger than 15 remain extremely rare.
But we do hear from partners that there is increasing non-fatal overdoses as well, which can also be obviously very traumatic and scary for both the infant and for the family.
He stresses that people should not use fentanyl in the presence of children and should keep all drugs and medications secured. By the way, if you do have unused medication at home, tomorrow is the DEA's drug take-back day at multiple locations. To the state capitol, several lawmakers are leaving their current positions. Jeannie Lindsay reports on what's driving the unusually high number of departures from the legislature.
More than a dozen lawmakers aren't coming back next year. Some are running for other positions, while others just want to move on. Republican Representative Gina Mossbrucker isn't seeking re-election, partly because she was drawn out of her district under the state's chaotic redistricting process.
And I can literally throw a baseball across Highway 97 and hit the 14th that I used to serve.
Mossbrucker says she also wants to take a breath from the demands of working as a representative. Lawmakers work full-time in Olympia for 60 or 105 days, depending on the year. It can also be financially draining. Another lawmaker decided not to return because he says the position made it hard to provide for his family. I'm Jeannie Lindsay in Olympia.
There'll be live music, food trucks, bouncy houses, and prizes tomorrow for the launch of light rail on the east side. Sound Transit's number 2 line starts running between South Bellevue and South Redmond Saturday at 11 a.m. It's a piece of a larger line that will eventually connect to Seattle in 2025. Light rail's also expected to start running to Linwood this summer and Federal Way in 2026. And don't be surprised if you see officers on the train. The Bellevue Police Department is launching a new police unit to patrol the new light rail stations. Bellevue Police Chief Wendell Shirley said it's to help continue Bellevue's reputation as a go-to place to safely work, live, and play. A pair of standouts from last year's Washington Huskies football team are on their way to the NFL.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Well, there it is.
Washington.
Penix is going to a team, the Falcons, that just signed a veteran quarterback to an expensive multi-year contract. And Huskies star wide receiver Rome Odunze was picked right after Penix at number 9 overall for the Chicago Bears. As for the Seahawks, they drafted defensive tackle Byron Murphy from the University of Texas. Tomorrow, Saturday, is Indie Bookstore Day. That means special giveaways, deals, and in Seattle, a passport challenge. 28 area bookstores are part of the passport tour. People who visit all of them within 10 days will get a discount to use at each of them over the next year. The map includes Third Place Books, Ridgecrest Books, Charlie's Queer Books, The Book Larder, and many more. Now for our feature story today. In the August primary, Republican voters in Washington State will have to decide between two major candidates for governor, one endorsed by their party and one who says their party is in disarray. KNKX reporter Scott Greenstone followed one Republican to the state convention in Spokane last week as she decided who to endorse.
I assume there's not a lot of Republicans in downtown Seattle. Maybe you know all of them.
Probably.
Jenna Edlund has lived in downtown Seattle for over 20 years. She moved there around the time she first got involved in the Republican Party.
Actually, I don't think so. I think a lot of people are closet and they hide, rightfully so.
She's right, of course. Thousands of voters downtown went for Trump in 2020, 12%. Edlund calls herself a conservative hippie.
I'm all about naturopathic, holistic, plant-based, not your typical Republican.
But she's quite involved in the party, on the state executive committee and a delegate to the state convention, where she had to vote on who the Republican Party should endorse for governor. Delegates had two choices. The first was frontrunner Dave Reichert.
For almost 40 years, our state has been lost in a wilderness of one-party rule.
A former congressman and sheriff, many feel he could have the best shot to end the longest streak of Democratic governors in any state in the nation. He's raised $2.5 million for his campaign.
I like what he stands for, that he wants to bring back law and order.
Reichert was not who most of the people at the convention supported, though.
The candidate for governor of Washington, Semi Byrd.
Most delegates supported Semi Byrd, a black veteran and a former school board member who voted against mask mandates.
We will make America great again in November, and we will give Olympia the bird. God bless you.
But the people in this room, Edlin's not totally sure they represent the Republican Party at large.
All my friends that are Republicans are not here. Not one single friend of mine is here.
And why do you think they're not here?
Let's be honest, who really wants to get involved in politics, right? Not many people.
Byrd and Reichert supporters have been fighting online for weeks, name-calling. Some say they're going to irreparably splinter the party.
They're ready for war.
Edlin aligns with Byrd on some things. She didn't get the COVID vaccine, and she plans to vote Trump for president. But the day before the endorsement vote, Edlin still hadn't decided.
It could go either way. You know, there's stuff that just came out about Byrd recently all over the news. Like, you can't ignore that.
Byrd admitted to the Seattle Times that he committed bank larceny 30 years ago, using his father's name and social security number. He hadn't disclosed that to the party during the vetting process. The rumor bouncing around the room was he might be disqualified.
Could be very bad. Very bad.
That is what almost happened a few hours later.
The candidate committee determined that Semi Byrd was not forthcoming in the vetting process.
During a raucous, expletive-riddled display, the majority of the 1,800 delegates voted to override the disqualification. Dave Reichert was in town, but as this happened, he announced on social media that he was pulling his name from consideration. He told the newspaper the party had been taken hostage by the Byrd supporters. We talked on the phone on Sunday.
A clown show, whatever you want to call it, it was out of control.
The party chairman disputed characterizations like Reichert's, and Reichert never showed up at the GOP convention. Semi Byrd did, and by the day of the vote, Edlin had decided. The financial crimes were 30 years ago. People change.
He's the only candidate here.
And she can't represent the people who aren't here, candidates or friends.
Okay.
There's 10 ballots. I don't know how many you'll need.
People are handing ballots out county by county. Reichert's name was still on there despite his withdrawal. Edlin put a big check mark next to Semi Byrd.
Shoot me later. I'm just kidding.
The vote goes over 70% for Semi Byrd. His campaign has been running on volunteers for months, but now he gets the party's fundraising support. And Reichert doesn't, though Reichert says he doesn't need it. In August, when the real decision gets made by the primary voters, who is Edlin voting for, I asked. She said, who knows? A lot can happen between now and then. I'm Scott Greenstone in Spokane.
Up next, we'll follow the state Democrats' convention, which is in late June. Next time on Seattle Now, grizzly bears are coming back to Washington State thanks to a new plan from federal wildlife agencies. Local conservationists are excited, but many who live in the North Cascades have concerns.
It's bigger than ourselves. It's bigger than any one of us. And it's a huge opportunity to get this right in a way that the world can admire as a conservation success story.
That's Monday morning on the podcast. And that's a wrap from the KUOW newsroom in Seattle. Our producer is Andy Hurst, and I'm Paige Browning. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See ya.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.